I began last week talking about the path. We're going to continue that today. But before we do, would you help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us? Love and Truth Church is a multi-site church, and each week I get the opportunity not just to preach here at North Campus, but at our different campuses as well. So whichever campus you chose to join with today, thanks for being at Love and Truth Church. We're excited about what God is doing. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Church, and we are thankful that you're there today. So let's get ready to receive what God has for each and every one of us for our lives today. I began last week talking to you about the path. Now, today I want to talk about learning new lessons. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think that there are still some things in life you could learn? Right? Now, there's a saying that says old dogs can't learn new what? Tricks, right? But you're not a dog. So you can still learn, you can still grow, you can still find yourself in some new places in your life. The book of 1 Kings is where we're going to be, so if you want to go there, if you've got your Bible or you've got it downloaded on your smart device, you can go there. If not, it'll be up on the screens in a minute. But we began talking last week about the path. In other words, that in each and every one of our lives, that there's a path. There's something that you're walking that nobody else has that distinct path that you have. Now, at times, there'll be other people with you, but yours is unique. Yours is distinct. It's not like anybody else's. And so to help us on this journey, several months ago, I began to study the life of this man called Elijah. And as I did, I began to see a lot of things in his life. And I said, you know what? That applies to me. That applies to me. And by the way, if you don't know this, let me help you. Most of the times when I preach to you a sermon, it's because I need it. Okay? All right, and so it's like, okay, that applies, I understand, that works. And so we began last week talking to you out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapters, and 1 Kings chapter 17 just starts off with Elijah showing up and going to the king Ahab and saying, hey, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Now, what a way just to show up and, you know, go to the king and tell him that. And then the Bible says, and God spoke to Elijah and said, hey, by the way, you might want to get out of town because they're going to want to kill you when the rain doesn't come, okay? And so he sent him to a place called the Kereth Ravine. And I told you there's nothing in Scripture that just is thrown in, that there's a reason everything is in Scripture. And so when you begin to look at that, and we won't have time for that this week, you can download it or go online and watch it. But we talked last week that the word Kereth means to make covenant with God. And so we talked about last week coming into agreement with God in your life about everything that God wants you and has called you to do in the life that he's called you to. And so we went through a lot of that last week. As again, we won't have time for that. But that's where you start. Today, we're going to continue that journey out of the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Verse number 7 says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Well, he said it wasn't going to rain, so guess what happens when it don't rain? Right? Things dry up. And then it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Now, again, there's a name in there. Did you catch it? Go to Zarephath. Now, I looked at the word Zarephath. I thought, okay, if nothing is just thrown in Scripture, why this place? Here's what Zarephath means. The word Zarephath means to refine. Okay? In other words, it's the same picture of when they would bring metal to get all the impurity out. They would put it in a pot, and they would heat that pot up so that the metal would become liquid, and then all the impurities would come to the top. So this time that we're in, learning these new lessons, is going to be a time of refining. And here's what I found out about refining. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to learn those new lessons. Nobody wants to go through that point that I'm going to be refined and I'm going to be put through the pressure and the fire. You know, the Bible says that God is coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any thing. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, how do you get rid of spots and blemishes? A little pressure and a little, you know, it takes a little while to get it out of there. And God's going to take some of us through those times of our lives. And some of you may be there right now, but here's what I want to share with you. Wherever you are, God is with you, and that you have the assurance that He's on this path, He's on this journey with you to take you to where He wants you to go. Now, we're going to learn something. I'm going to give you four things today. Again, you know me, I'm very practical. It's spiritual, but it's practical as well, and so you can learn this. Lesson number one is this: discover what is next, okay? The first thing you're going to do is discover what is next. Verse 9, he says, go at once to Zarephath, to the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food, okay? So you and I have got to come to that place where we are seeing what's the next thing. Is there anybody, whether at a campus or here, anybody just kind of at that moment saying, what's next? Is there anybody? Six of you, 12 or 28 more, okay. My hand's up, because I'm at that point right now in my life, okay? And I'm going, not what's the next church I'm going to pastor, it's God, what are you going to do next? What is it that you're up to? Because I've seen what you did, and that's been great and wonderful, but now I'm ready for the next thing. I'm ready to see what it is that you're going to do next, and it's kind of like, I don't know anybody else gets like this except me, but it's kind of like I'm right at the edge going, and come on, Jesus, because if you don't, I'm going to do something really stupid. Am I the only one that does that? I mean, it's like, if God doesn't show up, I'll just do something crazy. Y'all are looking at me, okay? But that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, come on, what is it that you're going to do? And what we have to do is we have to discover what it is that God's going to say. Now, here's what I found out about how God speaks to us in those moments. God can speak to you in different ways. He can speak to you with dissatisfaction, right? In those times where you're just dissatisfied. This is like, again, to quote one from my day, a great theologian from my day growing up, I can't get no satisfaction, right? Okay. Some of you are looking at me. The great theologian Mick Jaggers, okay? And there's that whole understanding in our lives that there's this dissatisfaction, but a lot of times that's not something bad. That's God working on us to get us to the next place. Sometimes, as in the story we read to you today of Elijah, it's a point of lack in your life when you don't have enough. I mean, think about this. He's been getting up every day. The ravens have come. He's had this water there, and all of a sudden the water's gone. He'd got comfortable with the way things were going, and then the water dried up. There are times in your life, and some of you won't believe this, but trust me, it's true. There are times in your life that God will dry up the brook to get you to move. All right? Because you have gotten so satisfied and you've gotten such a routine, it's comfortable here. Oh, it's just wonderful. Oh, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's just. And God goes, it's so wonderful. I'm going to dry it all up. I'll bring lack to your life, and all of a sudden you'll go, ooh, I might ought to find Jesus again. Right? Okay? Sometimes He uses others to speak into our life. Sometimes He uses those things which we're passionate about and that we're moving forward into. All of these things are what God does to help us to get there. Now, we talked last week, I'll be quick about this because I talked about it a lot last week. He uses His Word and His Spirit to give us direction, okay? His Word and His Spirit. Don't just take the Word, you've also got to have the Spirit, but don't just take the Spirit, you've got to have the Word. We're not going to spend time because I did last week. Download it and watch it, okay? Now, here's what I want you to get, and this is vitally important for everybody. Your assignment is not decided by you. It is discovered by you. Now, let me say that all over again. Your assignment is not decided by you. It is discovered by you. The Word of God says, before you were born, God already had your life laid out. All right? It was already predestined and preordained what God wanted you to do. Now, let me help some of you because you look at me and say, well, I didn't say you did what He said. I didn't say you discovered what He said. Why are y'all looking at me like that? It's like, what is he talking about? Well, you know, you just had to get married. Why are y'all so quiet? Pastor, I just gotta get married. This is the one. I go, you sure that's the one? It's the one. And we're all looking at him going, that ain't the one. That is not the one. But you said it was the one. And then 2 weeks after, okay, a month, a year, whatever, you go, I made a mess. Yeah, we could all told you. Come on, you got friends in your life that you saw the train wreck coming, right? And nobody, they wouldn't listen to you. We in love. Right? And so we got off the track. God said, no, I've got somebody, but they're still a mile down the road. Well, you got to have this one. Y'all are thinking real deep right now, aren't you? Why? Because you said, I'm going to decide what my assignment is. Instead of saying, I'm going to discover what my assignment is. And here's what I will tell you. It's a whole lot better on everybody to discover than it is to decide. Because usually when we decide, we mess it up. All right? So how do I go about it? Well, when God lays it out there, then I've got to go after it. I've got to pursue it. It's kind of like Saul and David. You remember that story where David wants to go out and fight Goliath, and Saul's there, and he's going, I don't think you're the right guy. And Saul, and David goes, I did this, 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 this. He goes through all the litany of things he's done. And then Saul says, okay, you can fight, but here, you've got to wear my armor. And he puts all this armor on him, and David walks around. He's a little old kid, and the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. So he's a great big guy. David's a little kid. He's like 15, 16 years old at this point. And so he can't wear that. And he says, I haven't tried this. I haven't tested this. He said, but I do know how to use a sling. See, he had discovered what his gift was. Now, let me explain this to you real quickly so you don't miss it. Now, there is going to be a day down the road when he becomes king of Israel that he is going to learn how to wear armor. But that's not the season he was in. See, some of us, we look to where God's going to take us, and we start trying to do something that is supposed to be down the road somewhere, and we wind up in a mess here because we're wearing armor we hadn't learned how to use yet. And until we come to that place that we allow God to take us in that path and lead us, we're going to continue to struggle because we are continually trying to decide what it is that God wants us to do instead of discovering what it is that he wants us to do. And let me move on, all right? Look in verse 10. Verse 10, it goes on to say, so he went to Zarephath, Elijah did. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink, all right? So here's the second lesson you've got to understand, all right? As we're learning those new lessons, we're moving to that next place God has for us. The second thing is your answer always involves others. Your answer always involves, it's not about you and Jesus got your own thing going, okay? You're always going to remember where the scripture talks about God created this perfect world and everything in it was perfect. There was a garden there. It was wonderful. There was nothing imperfect. He creates this perfect man, and then he looks at this perfect man and says something's missing, right? Women say he looked at the man and said, I can do better, right? But God looked at the man and said, there's no connection. In fact, the Bible says, for this sake shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Why? Because God made us for connection. See, you need connection in your life. Scripture says, it's not good for man or woe man to dwell alone. We need that connection, and God does that in each and every one of our lives, and so we have to understand how that we move forward in that, okay? So I need that connection. Now, how do I find my connection? How do I go about finding that? I'm going to be quick with this, but get it. First of all, you may not know them yet, okay? In this scripture, in the story, it says that God spoke to him and says, there's a widow in Zarephath. Go there and find her. So the person, let me say it this way, the person that may be the answer to the next thing in your life, you may not have met him yet, but you could meet him today. It could happen in a moment, and that person, your life can be changed in a moment. I mean, I have a friend who makes a statement all the time, and he says, life moves at the speed of relationship. And you start thinking about that. And it really is. Come on, and I'm going to mess with some of your worlds. It really is not what you know. It really is who you know. And God's always in the business of connecting us with that next person, that next place, that next thing. The second thing is, you may have to pursue them. Okay? You may have to go after them. He had to be willing to leave where he was and to pursue this connection in his life. I have it periodically. People will come to me, especially younger ministers will come to me, and they'll say, would you mentor me? And sometimes I go, no, I just really can't. I've got too many things happening, whatever. But there are times that I go, yeah, I'll be glad to mentor you. But I always tell them one thing on the front end. And some of you, I'm going to hurt your feelings, but just get it, okay? And that is this. I tell them on the front end, I'm never going to call you, and I'm never going to pursue you. It is not the mentor's responsibility to pursue the person being mentored. It is the person being mentored responsibility to pursue the person that can help them get to the next place. If you don't believe this, keep reading the life of Elijah, and when he comes to Elisha, see what happens. It's a proven mentor-mentee relationship right there. If there's somebody in your life that you say, I'd like to have what they have, okay? Now, I'm not talking about their money. Don't go there, okay? I'm talking about you see they're successful in their business, or maybe they've got a great marriage and family, or maybe there's an anointing on their life spiritually, and you say, I'd like to have that. Here's what you do, is that you go after them. You go to them and say, I want to understand what it is you understand. But listen to me, and again, carefully listen to what pastor's saying. You have to bring something of benefit to the relationship. It can't just be one way. It's getting really quiet. It can't just be one way that you're just sucking all the energy out of the person that is mentoring you. If you study this story, you will see it. It wasn't just that he was asking for something. He was bringing something as well. Does that make sense? And so there's somebody in your life that can get you to the next level. All right, I've talked about it for years, and we're going to get to favor in just a minute. But I've talked about how that one woman named Oprah Winfrey had favor on one guy named Dr. Phil, who had been successful for years in his profession, but all of a sudden, when Oprah had favor on him, his whole world blew up. All right? You just have to have one person in your world that you're pursuing that can take you where it is that God wants you to go. The third thing is, it may require you to step out in faith, okay? You're never, ever going to achieve what you want in life by playing it safe. All right? Listen, I went to college with guys that were smarter than I am, that probably prayed more than I do, that probably preach a whole lot better than I do, I'm sure, but who still are pastoring 25 people, 50 people, because they're always afraid of stepping out of the boat. They're always afraid of getting out there to the next thing. You've got to be willing to put yourself out there and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about what's happening. I'm going to put my faith in this moment and move forward. Verse 11 through 14. For the sake of time, we won't read it, but it's there in your notes, so you'll have it. He says, hey, go get me a cup of water. And the Bible says, as she was going, he said, hey, by the way, could you bring me some bread? And we read the next part of that verse there, and she turns back to him, and she says, you know what, I don't have any bread, I got a little meal and a little oil, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fix it, and then my son and I are going to die. And we kind of read that just kind of like I said it. Well, you know, things aren't good right now, we're going to go home, we're going to die. How many of you know, now think about this, how many of you know that if you are one meal away from death, you're going to be a little vehement in this moment. I think she turns around and says, listen, I want to tell you something, Bubba. Right? It's not in the King James Version or any other version of the Bible, but I think she just kind of looks at him and says, listen, I want to tell you something. We don't have anything at the house. We got a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and my son and I are about to die. I'm going to go, you want what? Right? Come on, can't you see a mama? Right? See, here's the third thing you've got to do. You've got to put a demand on your assignment. All right? When God calls you to do something or you move into a new place, you got to put a demand on that assignment. What is it that God's called me to do? And that's not just in spiritual things. That's in every aspect of my life. What is it that God's called me to do? Here's what I know. Great results require great action. You can't play it safe and see great things happen in your life. You know, a good amen would have been good right there. No, it's too late now. I don't want it. Keep your old amen if I got to ask for it. Just me and you, right? You know what happens? When you get ready to put a demand on that assignment and begin to fulfill your assignment, it puts your reputation on the line. It's like all of a sudden you step out and it's like, oh, help me, because everybody's looking at you now. Because here's what he said. He said, hey, here's what I want you to do. Don't just bring me some water. That's big enough, you know, in a drought, that's a pretty big thing to ask. But I want you to go ahead. In fact, if you read that whole passage that I didn't read all of it, he said, hey, go make me a cake first, and then you and your son eat. I mean, can you imagine the headlines? No, you missed it. Can you imagine if I went to a woman's house that she's got just a little bit of cake left, and I go in and I say, hey, I know you and your son are getting ready to eat and die, but you give me some first. CNN, Fox News, ABC, Channel 7, 39, 83, every one of them would blare across the front line, rich preacher. Come on, you know they would, right? Rich preacher takes last meal of dying woman. Elijah puts himself out there. See, what I see a lot of times in our lives is that we are so afraid that somebody's going to say something about us that we never do anything for them to say about us. I'd rather you shoot at me than not talk about me. Do you hear what I'm saying? In other words, I would rather you be against me than just ignore me. Because if you're against me, that must mean I'm doing something. Now look, I want you all to love me. Don't take that the wrong way, all right? But if it's, you know, it's kind of like God said. He said, I wish you were hot or cold because you're lukewarm. I'm just tired of that. Okay? I don't want to live that lukewarm life. See, here's the deal about our assignment. Our assignment doesn't only change our lives, it changes the lives of others as well. Okay? Not only is he going to be fed, but she's going to be fed as well. See, your assignment is about your faith, okay? Your assignment is about your faith. And as your faith grows, so your assignment enlarges. The Bible talks about a mustard seed, and we love to say, well, it's the smallest seed, and it's the smallest thing, and we go through all of that, but here's what I want you to understand. The Bible also says that mustard seed grows and becomes the largest plant in the garden, okay? And so as you work out, as you work your faith, you will begin to see it. He had been daily fed by ravens, and now his faith has grown, and now he's putting a demand on his assignment, okay? The last one. Let me give you the fourth lesson. The fourth, and this is one I've been wanting to get to because it's so politically incorrect and grammatically incorrect. I just love it. Favor ain't fair. Come on, say that with me. Favor ain't fair. I just want to make some of you say ain't. Favor's not fair. Okay? Verse 15 and 16 says, so she went away and did what Elijah told her to. And the Bible says there was food for her every day and for her family. I love that. And for her family. And it didn't run out, all the stuff that was there. See, Elijah calls the problem, but then he shows up and brings favor into the life of this woman. Now, here's what's interesting. It says, remember she said, I'm going and my son and I are going to eat this and die. But when you read the blessing, it says it took care of her family. Evidently, it extended out and it became more than just the two of them. It became even the whole families. But don't you think she became the greatest aunt that there was? Everybody wanted to go to her house, right? All of her family members wanted to hang out at her because they're getting blessed. See, here's the deal about favor. Obedience qualifies you for favor. If I am obedient, if I do what God says, then I am qualified for favor. You say, well, Pastor, what is favor? Is favor you come over here and you slip me a little something and I do something for you? No, that's called bribery. All right, here's what favor is. True favor is an attitude of goodness toward you. All right? The Word of God talks about a couple of terms. The Word of God talks about grace and mercy. Okay? And we kind of put those together. They're not the same. Mercy is about forgiveness. The Bible says His mercies are new when? Every morning, all right? That's about forgiveness. Grace, go look it up. Grace is about favor. Now, here's what's wonderful. If you are His child, the Scripture says His favor, His grace is on you. He wants to do good things for you. What does John 10:10 say? Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, destroy, but I am come that you, believers, would have life and that you would have it more abundantly, to a greater extent, to walk in that favor. Now, watch this. The greatest favor that God has ever had on mankind was when He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. Amen? I mean, what He did for us. You and I deserve punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to this earth as a favor from God to save us from our sins. And from those of us who have received that, it was the greatest day that ever happened. Listen, you can be healed, you can be delivered, you can be set free, but there's nothing any greater than the moment that you come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and change me this day. That's the favor of God. And I step into that, and God's favor comes, and then His mercy comes and He says, I forgive you. And the Bible says He takes your sins and He puts them as far as the east is from the west. All right? That's the greatest favor. But once I have received that favor, then I walk daily under His favor. Okay? True favor operates with the laws of God. If I'm obedient, then God can bless me. When I get disobedient is when God can't bless me. I've preached for years. God can't bless any disorder in your life. Lord, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me. Could you bless my money? Lord, bless my money. And God looks down and goes, nope. You say, why? Because you don't even have a budget. Uh-oh. How can God bless your money when you don't have a budget? Why y'all get so quiet? This is good preaching. You're lacking that favor for a minute, but this is about favor. See, God wants to bless your money, but He wants you to know where your money's going because it's His money. He owns it all. So He says, I want you to be a good steward. If you don't believe that, show up in June. I'm going to do a teaching on that. Okay? We've got to come to an understanding of that. And so God can't bless us when there's any area out of order in our life. He says, I'm looking for those areas that you bring order to, and then I can bless you. See, true favor positions you and others for blessing. Not only is she blessed, her family's blessed, Elijah's blessed. I mean, the blessing just moves out in concentric circles. It just continues to move and bring blessing. God never blesses you so you can just hoard it all to yourself. If every time you get blessed, I don't care if it's financial, spiritual, if every time you get blessed, it's all about you, then you have missed out on what the favor of God is really about. Because God's favor is that you are blessed to be a blessing. He does something for you so you can pass it on, so that you can be a blessing to somebody else and enable them to receive everything that God has for them. Let me do this and we'll wrap it up. True favor reaps favor. Now, let me quickly do this. I won't read it because of the sake of time, but her son dies. And she goes back to Elijah and says, what in the world's going on? Where have you missed this? And Elijah goes in and raises him from the dead. Why? Because she had given favor to Elijah. He now shows up and gives favor into her life and raises her dead son back up to life. Why? Because that's how favor works. That's how God works in our lives. And so each and every one of us have these lessons that God's trying to teach us. And we never get to the point that we've learned it all. We never get to that point that we've got it all. But it all starts right back at what I talked about a minute ago. It all starts at the moment I understand that the greatest favor God ever did for mankind was when Jesus Christ came and died for us. And it's in that place that I have to start in my journey with God to move into everything that He has. And when I get there, then I can begin to see His favor coming into my life every day of my life and walking with Him in this path that He's taken me on. Amen.